Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 151 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Verri.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
A quote about our next guest from the new book from Stefan Fromm, The Best Kiss of My Life, says it all. Kiss was responsible for the creative side in young Iku Wand. Setting free unimagined fantasies, the band helped him forge his life motto, dare to do what you believe in. On this episode, we will meet the design professor and multimedia director. We'll discuss his fandom and his numerous Kiss-related accomplishments. Kiss Army, let's get to know our friend, Iku Wand. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, welcome, and thank you very much for the invite. I'm very honored to be here and can talk about my fandom. And I'm happy to be here and can let you know a little bit about my ideas, what my imagination was when I had the idea to bring Kiss to Bali.
We thank you for coming aboard, man. It's like 1 o'clock. Where you are right now in the morning.
That's right.
You're a trooper and full jean makeup too. You look amazing.
Thank you very much.
Iku, I'm gonna second what Pasquale just said. You know, it's such a pleasure to have you, our dear friend. We had the chance to meet, you know, during the cruise and then in New York. And now we're here again. So it feels like yesterday, and we're so happy to have you in the show. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's like a family. So being back.
It is. So speaking of our passion and family and friendship, if you don't mind, let's start by, you know, from the beginning. So can you tell us about the young Iku and how you fell in love with Kiss?
Well, I was about 14, 15, and there was a classmate in my class coming from America with his family, and they had a few vinyl records with them, and we were going through this, and suddenly I had Alive 2 in my hands, and I thought, wow, what a show, what's that? Amazing. So, and from then on, I heard the music. Before, I was a Beatles fan, and they pushed the posters in my room to the farthest corner, more and more posters coming. So actually, for a young teenager in Germany, there was not much to collect at that time, just posters, because nothing else was available. I just remember one time I ordered, I think, something like a sticker that you can iron on the back of my army shirt I had, and was saying Kiss Army, the large one. I was really proud of to get this, but I had to wait about 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something to get it. Never know, is it okay if I send my money to America, asking my mom? And then, of course, 1980 was my first Kiss concert in Frankfurt. It was open air. And I had the opportunity to get close. I was on myself. And at the end, I also caught a drumstick from Eric Carr. That was pretty amazing for me, because I was not expecting that. But I had the feeling everything was going too fast. I wish I could freeze some moments, because I have only one picture of the, not of the show, but of me with makeup, because my first Kiss concert, I went with the demon makeup as well.
Oh, that's how it happened. And, you know, you mentioned before that you started to collect. Okay, and even though there were not many things available at that time, but what were some of your most precious items? Was it posters? Was it magazines or the vinyls? What was it?
Well, I have all the vinyls still, but the posters I don't have anymore, and there was not so much wealthy stuff available. The marketing machine of Kiss, I think, started a little later, and it was difficult in Germany. Imagine, just remember, we did not have the internet. Today, you have everything on Amazon. At that time, we only had magazines, and we were lucky if we catch up a magazine, even if it was a small snippet of something. I cut everything out and put it in a big folder. But that's basically was it. And later on, when I found some other stuffs when in the 2000s already. Of course, I have a few things, but more or less it's valuable things, clothing, a shirt that Jean is also wearing, and some nice poster enlargement that I made myself as a designer. So I'm not having such a kiss cave like you guys. I had this in when I was a teenager, but I have done so many different things that only recently I started with some designs, as you can see in the back, generating a new image, something new, because when I saw t-shirts in the past, I think, okay, give it a purple silhouette doesn't make a new approach. And so I had the idea to do something different. But yeah, back to your question. I didn't collect that much at that time. It was a kiss cave. My mom was always coming back and say, "What's with your room? You under the ceiling, everywhere posters, even the star cut with Paul and Jean. I have everything." And yeah, but they let me go, and that was really what I honor, that they supported me and not forbid to do these things. And I also had other achievements that I just thought, wow, this is interesting. I should start fire breathing. I should give it a try. And because I also in my school class at chemistry, I had access to some, petrol and this and that and
Elements.
element. Yes. Pyro. And so I started until I found out how to do it. And actually, when I talked to Jean in the recording studio, Electric Lady Studios, in December, we were having a short expert talk about fire breathing. And he's using the same lamp oil, the same stuff. Even I've never asked him. And he said he burned himself 3 times. I never burned myself. And we had some interesting talks, and it was just fun. It was just like, well, talking to a big brother, something like that. And so I'm do fire breathing since 40 years, and I used it also in my band that I had later in Berlin, and we had also some show with black light makeup and stuff like that. So actually, it inspired me to be creative, and the audiovisual approach, and that there's a performance, there's a song, there's musicians. I also play guitar, as you can see in the back. And I had a band in the 80s in Berlin, Diva Bleu, but our sound were more kind of rock and a little bit too exotic in a way. It was not the standard rock. It was a little bit more avant-garde and with show and everything. But I started to get creative. I liked the combination of all the media. And because at the same time I was joining the Boy Scouts for almost 10 years, this was my other pole. This was my other thing where I learned that if you want to achieve something, you have to organize things and being responsible for a group and everything. So these two different things, that was my horizon at that time. And I thought, if I can travel with a Boy Scout with 16 all over Europe, I can do also other things. And so we started with the first band, then we had second band, third band, and yeah, that's how it started. And also the
Wow.
visual approach of design, I remember copying the logo of KISS. Nowadays I can do it by heart.
Eco, it's interesting because we've talked to so many KISS fans on the show, and we see a pattern. When we first get into KISS, especially in the 70s, we were like complete freaks, diehards. Like, KISS is in our blood. But then come around the 1980s, a lot of us checked out. And the same thing happened to you, right? During an autograph session in 1980, something happened. Tell us about that.
Yes, that was a different experience as a teenager. Long story short, there was an autograph session in a record store in Frankfurt 3 days after the concert, and I said to my mom, "Oh, I'm going to the autograph session, and I let's see if I can get an autograph." And there were so many kids, 2,000 to 3,000 kids, and I was 16, and I took some pictures with my Polaroid camera, but I couldn't get through. And I don't know, emotionally, on the way back, because I couldn't get an autograph, I could see them. I said, damn, I don't get through, so much police here and everything. And then when it was all over and I had no autograph, I was sitting in the subway going home and I had to cry like a baby completely. I was completely freaked out, emotionally so disappointed in a way, but I couldn't control my feeling. I just let it out. My mom said, "What's wrong? What happened?" I said, "Nothing. I couldn't explain. I was just emotionally completely,
Devastated.
control." And then today I would say, probably you got addicted in a way. And you're starting having an emotional connection to these stars, which are not your parents, not your family. And maybe you have to learn to get mature, to get adult, that this, how to say, that this connection is nice, but it's not real. You have to yourself, and you have to grow up and build up your own environment, I would say, your own friends and relationships and other things. And so I thought maybe it's time to say goodbye in a way, not immediately. It took another 2 years. But when they took off the makeup, it was easier for me to let them go because the show was the thing that I found fantastic. And some of the music, you know, remember all the solo albums and stuff like that, and different experiments with music and The Elder and so on. I didn't mind because I have a broad spectrum of different music that I hear, so I value all the songs. I don't mind. I'm not arguing in Facebook when there's what is the best song and why is this not. And I said, it's okay. I don't mind. I never participate in these, but I had the feeling, I should care a little bit about myself because this is not my whole life and something else must come. So I had my first bands. And when I finished high school, I went to Berlin and I was planning to study visual communication or graphic design. So I established a new band in Berlin and there were so many new things surrounding me, even other music influences, Billy Idol, the, if you know the band. And so many other artists, so that I said there's more than Kiss. And because I have dropped all the stuff when I moved to Berlin and just put it on a box in the basement, and maybe if I come back, maybe I will sort it out. I did sort it out 15 years later when I didn't know that maybe I will see Kiss again, because they said, "Hey, this box is annoying here. You have so many stuff. You know, get rid of it." And so I said, "Ah, come on. The drumstick is just a wooden stick. There's even no brand, no signature, no nothing. It's just a wooden stick." Today I would say, "Okay, but who can prove if this is really this stick?"
That's right.
Yeah.
True.
See.
Wow, again, I said it 1,000 times on the show. We always learn something new on the show when we have our different guests. And this time, I learned something new about myself. Eco, I'm 56 years old. And I never thought of it that way. I had a pretty difficult childhood, and I was a huge, passionate Kiss fan, but I couldn't be that passionate Kiss fan because I had to work on myself first. I had to figure out who I was. And looking
See?
back, maybe that's why I checked out, because I needed to work on myself first before devoting myself to that passion that is KISS. And by the time the late 80s came around, they came back into my life because I was more comfortable with who I am. That was really interesting. Figured it out at
Yeah.
56 years old. Look at that.
Yeah,
So,
I'm 60, so we're close.
wow. I feel like I'm talking to Gene Simmons right now. This is really cool. So, Eco, like you, I got rid of all my KISS stuff, and you erased everything KISS at that point when you checked out in the 80s. So what passions and interests did you pursue during that time, during your absence from the band?
Well, as I said, I went to Berlin, and Berlin was like, you know, a big city, like people coming from the countryside going to New York for the first time. And you just got 18 and life is yours. You move out of your parents' house and have your own apartment or flat or whatever. You study, you have your first experience with women. And I was acting in a movie 1 week, the other week I was participating in Tai Chi performance theater with fire breathing and other stuff. And then had met other people. I was also having a rock theater group, and I do juggling and clown stuff on the road for earning
Wow.
some money and stuff like that. And so I was experiencing myself in a completely free way. And of course, I had the fire breathing still with me. That was always a good attraction. Get me some extra bucks on some festivals and other stuff. And yeah, I had to focus on my study. And we had a successful band for 4 or 5 years, about 15 concerts, not only in Berlin, but also in West Germany at that time. There was still the Berlin Wall until 1989. And I graduated in 1989, at just when the wall came down, and just starting a new a life in business. And working in an ad agency with someone together, and we found out that multimedia was the buzzword at that time. And because I had focused on computer animation, I was unsure where to go. Where I said, I have an idea. I can see that this technology will lead to a new business. Why don't we really create this kind of terminals and stuff with interaction, animation, sound, music? And there it is again, the KISS background, bringing things together in a new way that people haven't seen. And we grew very fast with my company called Pixel Park at that time, from 2 people to 100, no, 1,500 10 years later. I stepped out a little earlier before they went to stock market and everything, but that was the time where I was quite busy as a multimedia director, working with content and creating new stuff. And KISS was not on my mind at that time. Of course, there were some other music acts and this and that, but I spent 5 years directing a computer game about the fall of the Berlin Wall. And so a lot of things happened around me that I did not have the time to do anything else. So KISS was not on my roadmap. Even if I saw KISS in, when was it, 1997, in the reunion tour in Berlin with my wife at that time, in Waldbühne, at the venue Waldbühne, which is also open air. And yeah, it was nice to see it. I thought, same show as 1980. What has changed? Just different costumes, same jokes they make, same things. I said, yeah, it's okay. And so it did not ignite my flame for KISS at that time, because I don't know, I was just too busy with myself and being successful with all the achievement of my company and my career. And it was also the time, a little later, my son was born in 1998. And so, yeah, it was just not on my horizon, KISS.
So, Iko, it's funny because, with the reunion tour, a lot of fans said that it brought them back to their childhood. And this was what everybody was waiting for. So we were talking offline, and you were saying that the reunion tour didn't ignite your passion for KISS. I'm thinking, how can that be? Because you're talking about, loving the visuals of the band. And here they are. They put their makeup back on, they're back on stage. It's 1975 again. That didn't get you?
No, I mean, I was there because my ex-wife said, yeah, come on, let's go. You were a fan of the band. I said, okay, let's go. But maybe it was because I was not there with makeup. I don't know. I have no idea, but I couldn't see that at that point, that it could be interesting for me later on, because I was in the process of creating something and learning what it means if you create content yourself and do a production yourself and everything at once. I mean, I was a one-man show. Even there were 15, 20 people involved in the production over 5 years. But it was a very stressful time at the same time because was pretty hard to get funding for these kind of things. Nevertheless, I finished it. I published it myself. I produced it and I sold 12,000 copies, which is in Germany a lot for in comparison with a book publisher. Yeah, if you have more than 5,000, you're already good number. So I sold 12 of my first and another 10 of another production. And that was something I just was into computer games and stuff like that. So, I'm going through all these different steps, like in a film production, and that made me happy and that kept me busy. And I said, okay, I don't have time to do music. I stopped making music in the early 90s. And so I just have my guitars on play for myself a little bit. But it's not having any ambition for a band or something. So, yeah, basically, I just watched the concert, and fine.
Thank you.
Let me just say that once again, as we always discuss with Pask, of course this is the Kiss Army Nation podcast, but it's so nice to have someone like you, Iku, sharing your experiences and your life that has been quite remarkable in terms of changes and things that you did, you're still doing, and one of those. It's you moving to Indonesia. So, what were the circumstances that led you to go to Indonesia?
Yeah, things happen in life. When I moved to Braunschweig, that's where we are right now, where you see me. This is where I'm teaching at university, media design, multimedia since 25 years. Because it was pretty hard for these kind of game productions at that time, and I got the opportunity and was asked if I would love to give some test lectures. So I were at three different universities before I came full-time professor then in Braunschweig. I took the opportunity, moved from Berlin to here, which is not such a big city as Berlin, but this city has a twin or sister city in Indonesia since 60 years now. And that gave me the opportunity to do some teaching in Indonesia. At a time, I was running an institute for media research, also at the university. I was the manager of this for 7 years. But after that, I felt I need some refreshment of my batteries, some new distraction to come up with new ideas. And so I visited a friend who invited me in 19, no, in 2006, and I visited him in Jakarta for the first time. And for a designer, a disruptive atmosphere where everything is new gives you a lot of new opportunities to be inventive and create stuff. Because if you only sit on your desktop, at the same desktop, seeing the same
Same
people,
environment,
traveling is one of the source, but going to another country, to another culture, and the special thing about Indonesia was and still is, they have been a colony of the Dutch for 350 years. They have been 40 years under dictatorship. So they just living democracy for 20, 25 years. And you can imagine a country that is not at the same level as all the other Asian countries or the former colonies of the British who supported their colonies. The Dutch didn't do such a big job in Indonesia. So there's a lot of energy, people who have ideas, improving things. You have 400 ethnics, 400 languages. And it's a different culture, nice food, nice weather, and nice nature, especially Bali. But Indonesia has 17,500 islands, so pick one. And that was just something that opened my heart in a way that I said, wow, life could be different on a different place on the planet. Just allow yourself to go there. And then I was working out how can I step out from university for a specific time, like 4 or 5 years, and establishing a new marketing and social media company in Indonesia with a German friend. So also a new enterprise, learning more about social media, because in 2014, when I went there in Indonesia, they didn't know what is signing a petition. You had to wait 8 years until you have maybe 10 or 15,000 signatures, while in Germany you have this in a weekend. And because I'm a scuba diver as well, and was traveling to different remote spots, I was witness of a environmental disaster on a small island, and I had the idea to come up with a social media campaign. So an environmental campaign with virtual people just scattered in Facebook, getting together, organized these people. And after 7 years and 5 lawsuits, we won and pushed out an illegal mining company from a small island before they were ruining the reefs where I was diving before. Okay. And that was a new enterprise for me. Also, I orchestrated all social media channels. I made the designs. And also, we had also kind of hand fans with a thumb up, green thumb for this island and stuff like that. And that just was a complete new experience and energy. And when this campaign was finished in 2018 and we had won and pushed out a Chinese mining company from the island after they destroyed a lot, I said, now I would love to make a fun campaign or something that is different from this environmental stuff. But because I'm not an activist by nature, it was an experience. It was another chapter. And after that time, I came back to Germany because our company was not doing so well in Jakarta for social media marketing. And I said, come on, it doesn't make sense to carry the water to the fountain. Go back to the university because you cannot survive from this company. It was pretty difficult to learn that in another culture, they have other, they have other rituals and always want to get the things for, you know, small budget. And I said, I can't survive this way, but I'm lucky I can go back to my university. And that was in 18 to be correct. Yeah. And then I heard Paul Jean call me. And in an interview in a TV station, they were announcing their farewell tour, The End of the Road, and they wanted to play in towns where they never played before. And I said, I take you by the word, Paul. And when I went to one of the concerts here in Germany in Hanover, because I thought, come on, it's the farewell tour. You should say goodbye maybe forever to them, because they meant something to you. They probably have given you the energy to always experience new stuff and not being afraid to risk something, because only if you risk something, you can be really innovative. If you're not risking anything, then you won't have innovation, because innovation, pure risk. Most people take this buzzword and want to be innovative, but as they're not taking risk, I would say innovative. So I said, okay, let's go to the concert. I bought a ticket, and 1 week later, I find myself Amazon. I need makeup clown white. Where do I find it? Okay, I want to prove myself. How can you do the makeup now after almost 40 years? I want to see the progress from little Aku that time and now. So I did. I went to the concert. I felt the energy, my second skin, because makeup was always the thing that I liked, no matter if it's Kiss or something else. Even in my rock theater, I was playing a woman and this and that. And, you know, we had travesty for New Year, playing on a stage and a strip show and all that. So I went to the concert. I saw other Kiss fans also in makeup. Of course, you know, you talk to each other, you party together, you see the concert. And when the concert was over, I was probably one of the very last people who left with a few other makeup fans. And I got sentimental in a way. I said, this should be the last concert with Kiss? No. I feel it again, what I felt as a teenager. Now
oh.
with the makeup on, now it was ignite on. At that time, it was igniting the flame again that I said, hey, I should do it again. Come on. I'm in a luxury position. I can afford that. I can travel and do the makeup again if you like it. It's overseeable. And I don't care what people say about me. You know, just recently I found we have set such an introductional booklet at the university. I didn't see it. And I was looking, am I inside? And I said, oh my God, that is me with a just very simple Kiss makeup like this in a cartoon. And they said, this is Professor Eiko Wundt. I said, okay, I like it. Having a doodle in this official thing, just the students did that. I said, okay, I said, I don't mind. It's
what
just
an introduction, eh? What an introduction, beautiful.
It's just my creativity and my crazy life. I don't care what other people are telling about me.
Well, that's the Kiss philosophy, and I love it. And so, why did you pick Jean's makeup over the others?
When I was a teenager, I also tried Paul once. I remember I talked to Paul on the last Kiss cruise about that, and I said, I had the feeling it's too feminine for me, and he was, oh, get him out. I said, no, wait, because I had a good question to him that I tell later. And Gene was always the character that inspired me. I mean, I was not in comics and Batman and all this thing that was never teasing me, but this dual character between good and evil. And it can be really a dark character, but he can always smile. Yeah. And I played a lot of roles also in theater where I was the clown, the fool, and I was breathing fire and I had makeup and I smear it all over when the scenery got mad in this theater play. I liked this camouflage and mixing between two poles in a way. And it's also what a designer is doing is always, you know, kind of moderating the process of communication in a way. And it's the good thing that some people are frightened. Some talk to you.
Yeah.
And when I went to the Hanover concert in the subway, I had the feeling, you know, you can behave and do what you want. Of course, I have my discipline, but nobody of these people will recognize you the next day. They don't know who you are.
We are.
So actually, you also lose your fear of, you know, what would they say? I don't care. I just play the role that I want to play. It's like a second skin you put on. And yeah, then you say, okay, now I'm a superhero or whatever. And so Gene was always attracting me more. And I also asked Paul in his show in the Stardust Theater, was it Secrets or Behind the, I forgot. He had a show where he was telling stories, and I asked him the question, how was it in the beginning when nobody knows anybody of you without makeup? I mean, usually it's only some Nicholas in the role that he can put on some makeup and stuff and costume. And the next day he comes around to Connor, and how was it with the some Nicholas last night? Was it cool? Who was it? And I said, I can imagine a lot of these things happen to you. Tell us something about it. And Paul said, that's a really smart question. Let me think. He said, yeah, I have one. I was approached one day by one or two girls, and one of the girls said to me, hey, Paul, how are you? And I said, yeah, good, good. Don't you remember me? He said, no. Why? Oh, we spent the night together. You forgot? And he said, it wasn't me. Must have been someone else.
That's right. Your second skin.
And so, you know, only with a makeup, with a second skin, you can have these kind of experiences and stories and lean back and think, my God, I can fool people this way, but I can also be smart. I can inspire people. I mean, Gene is doing this a lot. I love his character. And it's just, you know, I'm not having a tribute band. I'm not an impersonator. I never did this for money or something. I just did it for myself. And basically in concerts, in one fan video and in some other circumstances, mostly on Halloween. When I was a teenager, always jean on Halloween. I mean, I still have some pictures, but today is my makeup is really what I think it looks legit in a way.
Look, I have to say that it looks so good on you, my friend. I cannot imagine you wear, having another member's makeup, because of your voice, because of the shape of your face and everything. It's perfect, man. I have to say it's you picked the right one, man. So you did
A young
it.
Gene
Thank you.
Simmons.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's amazing.
Definitely.
Iko, I'm a high school teacher, and I often talk to my kids about their future. And the kids are often nervous. They tell me that they're worried because they don't have a plan for their future yet. And I should introduce them to you because you're such a fascinating individual. Because the way your life went, you couldn't possibly plan it the way it went. It's a series of events that led to other things. It's incredible. And you have to be open-minded and flexible to take those opportunities and go with it. That's exactly what you did. And you made such an incredible life for yourself. And KISS has been a big part of that. And, when your newfound passion for KISS reignited, that now led to a series of circumstances that gave you the idea to bring KISS to Indonesia, which is fascinating. Tell us about that.
Correct. As I said, at that time when I saw KISS here in Germany first time after a big period of almost 20 years for the first time, I went back to Jakarta and I have a few musician friends there. And I said, hey, because we were always discussing, and he knew that I like KISS, and I showed him my makeup pictures and stuff like that. He said, they haven't been to Indonesia. He knows some promoters in Singapore and this and that, and said, how can we make this happen? So, is there a KISS army in Indonesia? Yes. Who's running this? Nelvin, friend of mine now. He was also on, I think, two or three KISS cruises. And we met together with a promoter in Jakarta, and we're just talking about the idea, what it will cost, and is it 2 million upfront or 1 million upfront? I said, wow, that's a big amount of money for Indonesian people, and I'm not sure. And but at that time, KISS was inspiring me, and I said, hey, somehow I felt at that time I owe them something. And because I don't want to just be a copycat, I want to develop something new, extend their corporate identity or the IP. And seeing the myth in Bali especially, and seeing the variety of culture, remembering the pictures, KISS in Japan in a Japanese garden with a kimono. By the way, this is a kimono I did
That
myself.
is
And
fantastic. That looks beautiful.
soon Gene will get a copy of it.
Wow.
Two existing, I made these, and I thought, if KISS would ever come to Bali, they would experience a complete new universe. And because there's also fire-breathing dragons, there's the dragon fruit. When you taste it, you get immediately almost purple tongue. And there's also a fairy tale about these dragon fruits, that this is the last thing a fire-breathing dragon is spitting out before he dies. So it's actually the karma. And this will be presented to the emperor and stuff like that. And I thought, wow, there's some narrative. I could really think of, if I would had the chance to work earlier with KISS, maybe they wouldn't come up with the tank on their stage or the Sphinx, because I always
Right.
was questioning,
Yeah, why?
what is this in the KISS DNA? Don't they have any good ideas anymore? What? So not being snobbish or arrogant, but I thought I have something to offer, and I could imagine to develop some stuff. Even I knew it's late, but maybe we can do something and get their attraction and somehow find a way to make this happen. So I very spontaneously started 2 weeks later a little video shooting on Bali with some girls with makeup. and the little narrative that small demons were just growing in Bali in these temples, and they need the food and nutrition to grow. Because, you know, what will happen if a demon dies? What's happening to the kids? So it was kind of a fantasy thing where I think, okay, it's not the elder, but maybe something else. And even without having a proper script, we did some visuals, some prototypes, 5 small clips with a little aesthetic around, and that. Here are also fans. Indonesia is the 4th largest, listen, the 4th largest population on planet Earth.
Oh,
most
wow.
people most people don't know.
Nope.
275 million people. And this is really a number where I said, Paul, you're coming to places where you never played before, will you? And then I thought, where is the best place? Jakarta, because they have large stadiums, stadiums with a capacity of 80,000 and above. But are there enough KISS fans in Indonesia? Because if KISS never been there, they could have done better if they would have come earlier. Then they would have a large fan base like in Japan, probably. Mm-hmm. Because there were a lot of bands like Iron Maiden, Scorpions, and they played in Jakarta, but they also played in Bali. And they said, well, Bali has a few benefits. First of all, it's close to Australia, and a lot of Aussies coming frequently, regularly to Bali as their destination, holiday,
vacation
location. And especially when Scorpions were playing there, there were 10,000 fans and 3,000 were just coming from Australia just to see them. So I thought, maybe this could be a strategy to get their Australian promoter together with an Indonesian promoter, because there is an old quarry in south of Bali, which is surrounded by big statues and demon statues. The largest one is 75 meters, almost as large as the State of Liberty. And the scenery in the quarry is so mystic and full of energy. There was just the G20 meeting 2 years ago with a big dinner and light show and everything. I said, this would be a complete different atmosphere for KISS. And also for the fans in Indonesia. I mean, Indonesia has a large metal scene and rock scene, especially also in Bali. So I thought, okay, of course, the financing is the crucial thing. I, as a fan, I can't handle this. I can just bring together people and having ideas. And so we tried. Unfortunately, things turned out differently, that the management in Australia was just sporadically getting back to me. In Indonesia, they wanted to do their own way. They don't want the cooperation. This is the cleverness of Indonesian people sometimes. So I said, I know how it could work out, but not this way. But it didn't work out. And then I started a lot of extra things to get more intention from the fans. Through the 5 years in Indonesia, I have experience in social media marketing. And in 2019, when I decided that we want to make a campaign to get KISS in Bali, no matter what the outcome is, I just do it. I have an idea. And okay, I want to go to the KISS cruise because before it's too late. And I use this opportunity to make these hand fans and other stuff to promote the idea, because I found out there are about 150 to 200 KISS fan groups in Facebook. And I learned who are the gatekeepers, the stakeholders, gatekeepers, and slowly befriended with the people. So I said, okay, from what I learned in social media campaign to get this idea larger, you have to throw out some hashtags and do other stuff. So on the KISS cruise, I made these hand fans with all characters and a little backstory on the backside where I put my ideas in so that people could just see that until and get back to me as one of the things. On the first KISS cruise, I had another cruise. I had only this heart and they thanks for all. And I made lovely new people. One of these people I appreciate, and I had a very good time, and we still have a good contact, and she's also in the book of Stefan, is Cheryl Rixon. And she inspired me also to go further with the campaign, and she gave the hand fan to Paul, and he appreciated what I was writing there in small letters and stuff like that. So it started to, yeah, how to say, evaporate in different directions. And I was always asked what is behind it and if it's realistic to make it happen. I think it's not only on me. I mean, I just want to remind, if Paul says we're coming to cities where they never had been, and they had Africa on their roadmap once, they had Dubai twice on their roadmap. I flew to Dubai the second time and they canceled last minute. That was really disappointing, because Dubai is a very safe city to say. And but of course we have to respect that, but it was something where I said, this is, I want to see how Arabic people will welcome and celebrate KISS, because that would be also something new. Are they coming with their, you know, hijab and stuff, or that was just fascinating. So it's the same for Indonesian people, because in Indonesia is also one band which is very famous. It's Kuburan, and they also have black white makeup, but completely different. It's a little bit more clown and stuff like that, but they're very famous. And they said, oh, we like the idea, KISS coming to Indonesia. Yeah, maybe we can also help promoting it. And the largest rock band in Indonesia, which is a Slank, the singer of Slank, they're existing for 40 years, and they were really also in the when the president got elected, they were playing for him in the stadium. They really are getting high numbers at any concert, and he was the patronage of my social media environmental campaign. And I said to him, what would you play as opening act for KISS? I said, Eku, if you can make this happen. I said, I can't promise, but having you on board, you will bring the fans to your show and to the KISS show. We could maybe do this. So there was a lot of different ideas around how getting things done. And then, of course, communicating this to worldwide fans. And a lot of people said, if they're coming to Bali, we will come. That's so exotic. We want to see that. Well, I had a lot of good ideas, but maybe as Stefan, my friend, said, maybe it was a little bit too late. I mean, 4 years in preparation. And you know, when I had the meet and greet with KISS in Dresden, in Germany, actually, they upgraded my merchandise package from the first Dubai show and gave me the diamond package. I was really pleased for that. And I asked them, when I gave them the fans, I have a picture with the hand fans and all of them having one. And I said, did you know that I made a campaign wanting you to come to Bali? And they said, no, we didn't hear that. And then I realized it takes so much effort to getting through that all of the things that I have done. I mean, I don't want to blame anybody. I mean, Gene got my t-shirt and everything, so he probably would have asked Michael Berger what it's all about and everything. And I mean, he was wearing it and stuff like that, coming to this later. And I just realized, okay, it's maybe a little bit too naive to think even the lot of different artistic and design things you did will lead to something, because in the end it's money. And of course, a very complex system that needs to be organized. It's not just giving a party in Bali. You know, I mean, a lot of people. And on the Dresden show, when I had the opportunity in the sound check to ask Gene, because Keith handed me the microphone for the first question, I asked Gene directly on stage, and do you think it's possible to have a concert outside of your regular venues where you were performing, beside Australia, when you go to Australia? And he said, It's just too much pyro, too much people, and too much cost to go to such a exotic destination. And
Okay.
I accepted that, and that was fair enough. And I tried, but it didn't break my heart again. I'm mature now. I have my own thing. But it was worse to try. If you don't try, you never find out, you know? And some people say, "Eku, you're crazy." I said, "Yeah, I don't mind.
It's my life.
I have a concept. I have an idea, and I go through it. I mean, I have also done some other stuff, as you maybe have seen here, is this little semi version 3.0 that has a letter opener in the center you can take out, and this is a letter weight. Here's another prototype of it. I
Wow.
gave one to Gene. I'm not sure whether it will be just an exclusive series, while I want to make this in steel and really worthy, while the 3D print stuff is light and but also expensive to do it this way. So I have to find out a way. Maybe I can also do this. The letter opener itself is interesting, but it's not giving me big bucks or something. I'm not selling large numbers. I haven't sell anything of this yet. It's just a prototype. And then also in Bali, I have a carver, and he carved this
Wow.
wooden mask, which are just in alignment with these Barong mask. Barong is a dance in Bali, and these lion masks are inspired by the Barong dance in Bali. That's how I came up with these motifs and the Bali shirts and stuff like that. They are now in the Click Tea shop. There you can get a copy, but they're also not selling in big numbers. It's more like a fan thing. And I said, "Wow, people ask me. I did the pics with it and other stuff, you know." People always asking me, "Do you still have some?" I have a few. "Yes, if you nicely ask me, maybe you can get one." And there's a lot of things that came from Bali, so I'm not disappointed because I have created them, and it was fun to do so. And they give me also some respect from other fans, and some ask me, "Eku, where can I order these shirts? Or do you really produce them? We like it, what you do." And so I feel pleased as a designer. And well, as I'm working with Metaverse, and I have a new side job as a creative director in a British company. We are 30 people and developing our own Metaverse tool. I have some ideas which I can't talk about.
Kids related?
And I don't want to make an announcement or anything, but maybe this is not the end for me with being creative with KISS and extending their IP, while I think this is something still has a lot of potential. Okay, I didn't like the first avatars. I think there was a fast shot. You can do this really better, especially if you have this professional people on board. But now they have time until 2027, and I just compare it when I first got inspired by music. It was the Beatles, and at that time I had the feeling, "Damn, I'm born too late. I can't see them. They're not existing anymore." And I was soaking in the videos, help, and you know, and everything. And I think maybe for a younger generation who are crazy as we are, this could be the start for something that they go after us in a virtual show. We never know. The music will exist. I'm not expecting a new album or something. What people sometimes say, "Hello, come on. What do you expect?" I mean, not everyone can be successful like Judas Priest coming
Yeah.
out in 50 years and bringing an album where he said, "Wow, it's fresh like in their first 10 years." It's amazing. I love Judas Priest. I will see them this summer. They were also one of my teenager bands I favorite.
So, Iko, I want to know, at what point did you create the Kiss Army Indonesia group on Facebook? Was that during your campaign or was it afterwards?
It was already existing, but having just 250 members, and I asked
Okay.
who's in charge of that. Can I take over? Can I be part of, not take over, can I be part of it? Because I know how to manage it and I see potential. But at the same time, I also set up an Instagram account from zero. So actually we have some 3,000, I don't know, 300 people following, but just 90 posts, quality posts. It's not, some people have 5,000 posts and 500 followers. And I thought, no. We give good quality, and slowly I don't have to post all the pictures I took in concerts. I have tons of images here, which you never seen public yet. But that's why I think, wow, I still have so much content here. I should do something with it. And of course, as you mentioned before, here are two versions, the English and the German version of the
Yeah,
book.
nice.
That was also a great achievement, and I'm really honored to be in Stefan's book, and maybe you have him soon in another podcast. So I don't want to be a spoiler. There's a story of me inside, which is covering some of the things we were talking today in a shorter format, of course. So today I have the chance to talk a little longer to you guys.
I want to take this episode full circle by asking you the following. So, past mention in the introduction, your motto, okay, which is dare to do what you believe in. And you're the true proof of your life and what you did, what you told us here on the episode that if you believe in something, you just do it, okay? You don't think too much. You just do it and see how it goes. So after everything that you have done, can you tell us how you forged this particular philosophy? Because it's hard to keep it up. Sometimes you have these ups and downs, but you seem to have a very strong character and personality to continue with this philosophy even today. How did you do that? How do you do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, getting older, you're reflecting these kind of things. I can be spontaneous, but of course, I also reflect a lot and also see the different opportunities, what could be the result of something. So, taking into account the consequences before you do something is also part of my strategy. At the moment, I'm single, so I have a lot of time. I don't have to make any compromises with someone else on the weekend or something. So, I always have a lot of time to do things, sometimes too much, sometimes it's good. I go on a vacation with my son, who's 25 now and soon finishes study. And I think together with my ex-wife, we raised him very well. He's an electrical. No, he's a machine engineer, but focused in electrical stuff. And he got already a job opportunity at Tesla. And he had an
Nice.
internship in Silicon Valley. And he's going back as soon as they can take him over because of the visa restrictions, etc. But that makes me very proud, so that even I give something from my DNA to my son. And he's doing his own way as I did. I think the strong stamina I got from the Boy Scouts, because I was forced to make decisions quite early, and being responsible for a young group and making a plan where to go and calculate the budget and everything. I don't do drugs. I tried when I was a student, but I'm too sensitive. It gets me in crazy cloud 79, and I'm losing ground. So of course I drink some beer or other stuff, but that's all. I stopped smoking. I was not a what was not an addicted smoker, but I stopped when I was in Indonesia because they have the sweet Kretek cigarettes, and they are so tasty. And I said, no, come on, stop. I want to have a long life. But I also had downsides, of course. It's not always the positive things. I had a deep depression in Indonesia when things were not turning out the way before the KISS thing, because our company was not running. I was mobbed from my university, and I had to move. a girlfriend left me and it was just too much and I couldn't see a fortune in Indonesia at that time, and thought, damn, I have to go back to Germany. I don't want it. It was a lot. So it took me a year to get out of this. So not everything is sunshine every day, but I could fight it without medicine. I get through it. It was really hard. It was really a mission to get out of this dark valley, but I did, and I learned a lot from this, and I'm really happy and that I had the opportunity to learn this on one hand side, to know me a little bit better, that this will not happen again. And as a designer, you always trying to bring things together which are not yet together, to find a new solution, whether it's innovative or it's just a new fusion of something, like in cooking. Yeah, you try different things and wonder whether it tastes or not. And this is something also in life, that I see things, I said, oh, this could be a good topic for some interactive stuff, or we could do this now with we have another startup in Indonesia. We have a prototype for a virtual cultural heritage museum for schoolers who live on remote islands, but through the internet, we can bring the museum to the islands because they never have the money to fly into Jakarta. And they only have a few museums for 260 million, 275 million people meanwhile. Mm-hmm. And so having an idea and make my journeys and my hobbies also part of my job, whether it's KISS, whether it was the Boy Scouts, whether it's my traveling, whether it's my passion for food and cooking and other things, I'm just a curious adult. I kept the curious boy in my heart. And I think this intrinsic energy that every individual has, this is the real jewel you must preserve from wrong education schemes, silo thinking, and whatsoever. Right. To have the energy also to overcome the current problems, climate crisis, the war in Europe. I don't know where this will end. I mean, I'm 60. Yeah. I think I can't find a solution for this. I have done a lot also with this environmental campaign, but I'm still positive and think we don't have to put our head in the sand. We still can change the world. And if everyone is changing a little step, it's bigger than the total, that if everyone is doing a little step, the sum of it is bigger.
Yeah.
Just waiting for politicians to do things. Sometimes I'm just wondering what's going on in our society with losing respect for each other. I mean, we are social individuals. And I mean, Jean is also talking a lot about this, and I don't want to repeat this, but I think even if I basically live a lot of the time on myself, I have a large network. I'm communicating every day with 10, 15, 20 or more people. And there are times when I work on myself and I need this time to really focus on something, but be creative, be open and be curious. Don't lose curiosity. I mean, this can give a long life and give you new ideas, even to overcome problems. Talk to others. We are social individuals. We're not made to stay alone. And but we have to also have our rituals and rules, and respect is one of them. Respect each other, whether it's religion or sex or whatever it is. We are just have one chance on this planet, and every day is the start of the life which is in front of you, and you can still change something. I know I can easily talk. I have achieved something, but I'm not coming from a rich family. My parents were workers. Everything I've done myself, even I'm the first person in our family who studied because I got this opportunity, and I took the chance and made something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so well said, my friend. So well said. I have one more final question. I don't know if you can answer this, because like I said earlier, your life is a series of events. It's not planned. You go with the flow. So, you know, with the recent Pop House acquisition, the future of KISS is a little clearer than it was a few months ago. What do you expect for the future of KISS?
I'm excited what they will come up with. I could imagine some sceneries. As I said, I also have a scenery because there's one thing that they hadn't thought about yet. Maybe they do, because they think about the band in the metaverse and what's about the KISS army, where they are. Are they, because I met a lot of people or saw a lot of people in New York actually, and they said, damn, we don't have an opportunity now to hang out together. New York was so quick, so fast. I haven't seen all my friends in the KISS cruise. We had 1 week to chat with each other, or we have the concerts to hang out afterwards, or we visit the friends before in the weekend. And I said, okay, I have an idea, which I will soon present, but don't want to talk about this yet. I think it could be a good mix of something. I haven't seen the ABBA show myself. My sister did. She was in UK. Technology-wise, there are many opportunities and many possibilities what can come up. I mean, I hear the music. I'm not expecting new music, and I'm not a vinyl collector. I'm collecting different stuff, but not that much. And I mean, I'm happy I have one of Paul's signature guitars, but I play it. I don't need an autograph on it. I want to play it because it's cool. It always reminds me of KISS. I like it. It has also something like, you know, Prince and something in between. It is so unique, the guitar. So I'm not expecting any new, yeah, there will be new anniversary vinyl packages, but I'm not buying these. I mean, this is not the type of thing I'm collecting. And we will see. I mean, they said there are other things coming out. It depends on a good crafting and a good, not squeezing out, but come up with something new. We knew. I mean, I'm not expecting the Elder 2 or something to appear, but it is definitely time for thinking about how we can extend the content and give this something that is meaningful to people. Because when I saw the short animation after the concert, I thought, I don't want to have KISS like Marvel, superpowers, glowing eyes. This is not really suitable in a way, because it's so artificial. It's not spoiling me. And I wish there would a little bit more in-depth thinking, what could be the story behind it? Where could it be? Maybe they create an empire, something where you have new enemies or friends or other people involved. I don't know. I mean, we have seen the movies in the cinema. Okay, they were fun sometimes. not all the time, but I think Detroit Rock City, I enjoyed it. It was really fun. But, you know, so don't overexpect too much. 300 million is a lot of money. So I think ABBA is a Björn of ABBA will know, and they have good people on board. And something we will see. Technology wise, it's always going faster. As I said, I also work in a metaverse company developing a tool, and also being the director of a virtual museum, creating content from my journeys through Papua and other countries. Mm. So it always depends if technology alone cannot tell a story. It must be also having a good story writer, authorship to come up with content. I have tried to start something with Bali, and because I see an opportunity to learn something about a different culture, while KISS could have been the connector in between. And it's a fairy tale with fiction and faction. And fiction and faction is very often part of my approach as a content creator, author, or director, as I did this multimedia title. This game about the falling of the Berlin Wall is also fiction, faction. This sometimes is a good mix. And I could see there is potential for KISS, but we don't know whom they're working with and what they're coming out with. I mean, they can call me if they think they need some fresh energy, maybe from just different perspective, point of view. That's design thinking. It's a methodology to not only think linear in one way from different angle. That's also what I'm doing in my job and also in my life. That's why I have so many different chapters and experiences, because you live only once. And I mean, being a KISS fan for the whole life is okay, but you know, I have a chapter of this and this and this, and I'm happy that I've done that. Some people think, can you be not consistent in one line? I said, why
should I be?
Why should I always eat the same course? I mean, it's like life is like a buffet, and you don't have to waste it. Pick it carefully. And I think maybe if we're patient and we see, I mean, I would love to see some activities, of course. Yeah. Whether it's a KISS cruise related thing or something. But of course, for me also the whole makeup and show is part of it. And I think I if there would be a KISS cruise, even only with deck shows and other bands, I think one day I must wear my makeup, my wall painting is just a must.
That's right. Exactly.
So I'm looking for opportunities to do this, maybe once in a year, Halloween. Indonesia is also very famous for Halloween celebration. They would love it. And yeah, we will see what KISS will come up with. And as we heard, it's not that they just sold it. They still will supervise things and give recommendations and approve things, I think. I had recently read a book, and that said, it's called Leaving the Building, The Lucrative Afterlife of Music Estates. And I think Gene is a smart guy, and Paul as well. They probably have thought about how to deal with their IP in lifetime, while some of like Elvis or Prince or others maybe did not have the time to think about what to do with it wisely. And let's be a surprise. Don't be disappointed. Yeah. And don't, I mean, why do you give yourself a bad day and complaining? And I mean, they tried with the avatars. Maybe it was a little bit overdoing, but let's see what's coming out. I mean, there are other interesting people behind it. And if you don't expect too much, you will be surprised what's coming,
Eko, you know, we're wrapping up the episode. And the only thing I can say is that it's been amazing, you know, to have the chance to speak to you and getting to know you more in depth. I remember we had the chance to chit chat a bit while we were in New York, but I wasn't aware of your life story, which is really, really interesting. And the way I see, at least for me, my passion for KISS, I see this as a pathway or a way to get to know people. I think we are already, you know, I couldn't say old, but we are, you know, in our 50s and 60s, and we went through listening to the music and collecting and all the stuff. But I think what's left, it's relationships, it's friendships, and getting to know people like you. And just for that, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity that you just gave us with this episode, with this hour, to get to know you better. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much from my side to have the opportunity to talk about this and my life story a little bit more in detail, share it with others. And I also appreciate listening to your other podcasts once in a while, and seeing that we have so much in common, and that this community should remain, and that maybe it's upon us not only putting the weight in the hands of the band, but ourselves, how we can maintain these networks and communities and do something in the meantime until they are ready with their avatar show or whatever it will be. Because that is, we live only once. And Seeing, I mean, you're welcome in Bali. I will soon retire next year in spring, and I will move back to Indonesia because I have new chapters and new adventures to fulfill. And that's why I said, okay, now I have the time of my life, my last third of my life, so to speak, and doing cool things again.
Nice. I want to second what Claudia was saying because, you know, KISS has afforded us so many opportunities to meet fans from around the world. But oftentimes at KISS events, it's the conversation is light, you know. We don't get deep because there's so much going on. So I'm so
Correct.
thankful for this podcast to be able to talk with people like you in depth about their life, their fandom, their philosophies. And this was a fantastic hour because we got to learn so much about you, the culture of Indonesia, all of your accomplishments, and most importantly, your passion, not just for KISS, but the passion you have for life and never giving up. You're turning 60 and you got plans for the next 30 years. I think that's fantastic. I think that's fantastic. And you know, thank you so much for coming on the show at 1 o'clock in the morning, your time. It's now past 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you're working tomorrow in full makeup. It's fantastic. You're a trooper, man. Thank you so much.
I wanted to make a difference even tonight in your show. And if you don't give it a try, then you will never know, you
That's
know?
right.
And so I was also so very pleased last year. I mean, as I said, I was turning 60, and you know that Gene sent his happy birthday greetings personally and wearing my Gene
Wow.
Balinese shirt. That was, I think, wow, that couldn't have more appreciation. So that I said I wanted to give something back, and I think I did, and they appreciate that, and that is an achievement where I thank you. You gave me something, I give something back,
Yeah, there
and
you go. That's what it's about.
that was worth the whole attempt, even they were not coming to Bali. So I'm not regretting having done this, and I'm not sad, and I still like the guys, and who knows, maybe we see them together on another cruise or whatever. Unfortunately, I can't make it when Gene comes to Germany at Wacken and another concert. I will be in Indonesia in a jungle expedition at that time, but nevertheless, we will see. And I have now, through Christina, also a good connection that if I have something that I want to show Gene, I can send it through this channel, and that's fine.
Oh,
That's good.
fantastic.
Happy.
Well, here's to new adventures, my friend.
Thank you very much for
Thank
having
you.
me. Don't forget about the book.
Oh,
And
no, mine's coming.
you have it already?
Not yet. It's on its
Not
way.
yet.
It's on
It
its
should
way.
be close.
Yeah,
Claudio,
yeah.
and Pascal, thank you very much for having me. And hope to see you soon again somewhere on this planet.
There you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so
We
much.
will. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best for you.
Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
To the KISS Army, we hope you enjoy this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You can watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Podomatic, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is about you, so please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. See you soon, Kiss Army.